Amen. Well, hey, I'm glad you're here today. Let's take our Bible and go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are finishing our stewardship month. All this month, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where Paul is gathering the offering for his ministry and for the need that is in Jerusalem with a decimated church under persecution and suffering. And so he's asking the churches of Macedonia, there in Berea, in Corinth, Thessalonica, to gather up this offering, and they are going to send the offering with Titus and two others. And we learned last week that it may have been Luke and Apollos, and they're going to take this offering and take it to Jerusalem. And he comes to the end of these two chapters and really gets into the promises, God's faithfulness about our giving, and he uses that phrase in verse 8, God is able. So I'm going to use that this morning. Next Sunday is our relaunch commitment Sunday, and up in the balcony there'll be points where baskets where you can put your gift or your commitment card, I should say, and then three or four places here at the front. And I'll ask you, as we get to the end of that service, be a little different kind of service, and you'll have your commitment card. It'll be right on the end of the pew here. It'll be in a white envelope. We'll pass them down. You'll fill yours out. We'll have plenty of time to do that. And then there'll be some music, and you and your family will come and just place your envelope right there in one of these receptacles all around the place. That's the way we'll come to commitment next Sunday. We'll ask you to bring your offering if you've got your offering envelope next Sunday. Well, that's the way we'll take our offering. We'll all bring it here to the front. We'll ask our guests that are with us that will not be making a commitment. They may be a first-time person that's here, and they're going to come and put their guest registration card. That's the way we'll gather our offering next Sunday on relaunch. So I want to encourage you to be in this place. We've been talking, we've been praying, we've been encouraging, we've been informing about this process. And next Sunday is the day we gather our commitments, and we'll find out in a couple of weeks, then on the 21st of December, where we are. But we come today just to remind us, not only today, but then the next Sunday, and then on the 21st, when we get to, I'm going to continue to preach out of this little phrase, God is able. Several places throughout the Word of God where we find that phrase, God is able, God is able. And I've been building the couple of messages about the ability of God, about God's capability. I don't know what your need is today, but I'm here to tell you God's able. He can do it. God is able. We're going to see that this morning as we get ourselves prayed up and ready for relaunch. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse 6 and read down through verse 15. And that 15th verse will be the verse that I will use out of this text when we get to Christmas about God's indescribable gift. Now let's look at it in verse 6. The Word of God says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written in Psalm 112 and verse 9, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything in all liberality, which through us is producing, there it is, thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, those in Jerusalem, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Then that postscript, thanks be to God for his indescribable, unutterable, you cannot put into words the gift of God in Christ Jesus for us. That is Christmas, my friend. That is the gift above all gifts that God gave his Son for you, that you might have eternal life. Let's pray together. Father, I believe today in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I ask you, Holy Spirit of God, now to come, take my lips of clay and speak a word of encouragement to your church. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that next Sunday as we gather here, we'll see your ability, not ours. That we'll see your majesty and your miracle power working in the life of Olive Baptist Church. Speak now to us and give response to the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. In this text, I believe that we have the principles of God's law of supply and demand. I heard about that as a kid in high school when I took economics. We also took one quarter in high school and they taught communism. It was amazing. In the late 60s, they still dealt with that. And then we'd take a few weeks and we'd talk about economics. And there is a big difference in the economic background of communism and socialism at the different point of capitalism. In that socialist mindset, which was tried in Massachusetts when Bradford was the governor, they tried that as they brought everything together early, and it was going to be a common garden and a common place, and there was going to be common wealth. And they found out quickly it did not work, because when everything went common, the lazy got lazier and the hard worker worked harder until he found out he had to give everything to the lazy guy, and then he did as little as he could. It took away his ingenuity. And there was a switch in our country, and that capitalistic mindset came. Now, there is a negative side to capitalism. It's called greed. It's get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid. That's the way people do. But out of that comes a responsibility. There comes a biblical mandate. If you won't work, you don't eat. And Paul here is speaking about God's law of supply and demand. We will have the poor among us always, and we are always to care for the poor. We must. You live in one of the most generous nations ever to grace the face of the planet. We do that through our churches. We do that through our government entities. We do that in a multitude of ways. But we've come back to the Bradford plan of early Massachusetts, where we've almost flipped back now of people losing their drive to work and go forward, of just having their hand out rather than their hand to the plow. We must always remind ourselves of that. Even in this text, there is a work ethic that is demanded if we're going to do the work that God has for us to do as the body of Christ. Now, there are two laws that I want you to see that come out of this before I get to this message really today. This is a part of it, but it's introductory. There is first the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. Notice it in verse 6. And he says, now, here's the law. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Sow a lot, get a lot. Sow a little, get a little. Paul picks up on that in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, where he gives us these words in Galatians 6 and verse 7. Here's the law of the harvest. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he'll also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Do you know verse 7 is the verse that President Bill Clinton put his hand on when he was inaugurated the first time? Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he'll also reap. That was the president's verse. And he held his hand, took the oath of office. He said, don't mock God. What you sow, what you reap. Friend, don't you mock God. What you sow is what you reap. It's the law of the harvest. And he who sows to his own flesh, you're going to get corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, that's such a great phrase, isn't it? Sowing to the, how do you sow to the Holy Ghost? How does one sow to the Spirit? Well, let me tell you, you sow to the Spirit on your knees in intercession. You sow to the Spirit when you pray and spend time with the Lord God. You sow to the Spirit when you meditate on the inerrant, infallible scriptures of the Word of God. You are sowing to the Spirit. You're sowing to the Spirit when you forgive your enemies when they come against you and when they speak evil against you, that you turn the other cheek and you sow to the Spirit. Say, my brother, I forgive you. I love you. You either this morning sow to the flesh and get corruption, or you'll sow to the Spirit. This text says you reap eternal life. The law of the harvest. What you sow is what you get. What are you sowing today? I'm amazed that people come to church and they never give anything. They don't give their time. They don't give their capability. They don't give their money. Well, let me tell you, when you come and you don't give anything, guess what you get? Nothing. I'm amazed people in our families. They never give anything. They never do anything. Let me tell you, when you sow nothing, that's what you get. It's the law of supply and demand. And don't ever miss it in the spiritual realm, but don't miss it in the financial realm either. Too much is given, much is required, and he that sows much reaps much, and he who sows nothing reaps nothing. He's using the farmer. If you don't put any seed in the ground, nothing comes up. When you put a lot of seed in the ground, a lot of stuff comes up. It's the law of the harvest. But there's a second law here, and it's not only the law of the harvest in verse 6, but verse 7 gives us the spirit of the harvest. Amen. Look at this. But each one must do just as he's purposed in his heart. That's what you're going to do next Sunday. Nobody's going to tell you what to give this Sunday. Nobody's going to tell you what to write on that card next week. Let a man do as he purposes in his own heart what the Spirit of God tells him to do. That's what we're to do. And here is the spirit of the harvest. Look at this. A purpose in his heart, not grudging, not under compulsion. For the Lord loves a... That word means hilarious. And I'm telling you, when we take the offering here, people ought to stand and shout when you take the offering. They rarely do, but they ought to. Oh, me. For the Lord loves a hilarious, a cheerful kind of giver. Oh, dear God, I got to write that check again. He tells us in the Spirit that you're to give without casualness. That is, give out of a true sense of purposefulness and out of a sense of planning. Friend, you ought to have a plan. You ought to have a purpose how you give. Not just, well, every now and again. You ought to have a purpose, a plan. You don't do that with casualness. You don't do it with complaint. He says here that you don't give out of a grudging spirit. And you don't give out of compulsion. Somebody's got your arm up around your back and they're making you do. No. You give with cheerfulness. You know, Jesus said many, many things. John's gospel said that he said so much that if you wrote it all down, you'd have so many books you couldn't carry them. And if the whole sky was made a paper and you took the oceans and wrote it, you couldn't write down everything Jesus said. But now one of the things Jesus said that's not recorded in the gospels, Paul did say it and recorded it in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, you find that Paul reminds us that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And everything I showed you by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Somewhere Paul picked this up, that Jesus said this. They didn't write it down in the gospels, but Jesus said, let's just read that together. Everybody knows it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's the spirit of the harvest that you give. Somebody asked me just coming in today, said, Pastor, aren't you just looking forward to Christmas? I said, no. It's not my favorite time of the year. As a matter of fact, I love today because it's on the calendar, the last day of hurricane season. Can I get a witness? Amen. But tomorrow is December, and that means that we're full throat into Christmas. Matter of fact, the big Christmas tree will start to go up in the foyer this afternoon, and then we'll have service in here tonight, a prayer time, and we're Black Friday, and you know, and all those days. I'll do more in December and accomplish less than any month of my life. I go to this and I go to that and a party over here and eat. About all I do is gain weight in December. But I'll start tomorrow in December with a funeral. Brother Jay Jeffcoat, I shared with you about last week, he died this week. And high noon tomorrow, we'll do his service right here. More blessed to give our answer, God gave. I've heard from more coaches and young athletes. Let me tell you what coach did for me. Let me tell you what he did for me. Wow. It's the law of the harvest. When you give, you receive. So I want to encourage you that you live by the law of supply and demand of the harvest. What you sow is what you get. And joyful giving. Now in this text, I want you to see what God is able to do with those two principles just laying out there in front of us. Now I want to show you two simple thoughts this morning as we think about God and our giving. Number one, in verse number 10, where it says that he who supplies seed to the sower, I find that God is able to meet our personal requirements. Our personal requirements. He gives seed to the sower, and he gives bread for food. Now listen right here. I want to talk to you about money. Everybody knows about money. Everybody lives about money. You live for money tomorrow. Your light bills come and due in the morning. It's first of the month, and you'll think about that. If you don't, you'll think about it in January, because it'll be dark at your house. Your electric bill's coming due, or a gas bill, or your mortgage is due tomorrow, if you got one. Your rent's gonna come due. We've got to think, we have requirements financially. And I'm telling you that God is able to meet our personal requirements. He's able. He says it right here in verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, he will supply. For you, amen. So, Pastor, I'm not sure I believe that. Well, you need to read your Bible. Psalm 37, you ought to write these references down. Psalm 37 and verse 25, the psalmist said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. My younger days, my older, the righteous, I've not seen them starve to death. I'm telling you, God supplies your personal requirements. He does. He gives bread for the hungry, and he gives seed to the sower. In Luke 22 and verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, I sent you out without money, without a belt, without bag, and without sandals. You did not lack anything, did you? And they responded, no, nothing. Amen. That you need, your requirements, so that you do not starve to death, God is able to meet our need. And Philippians 4 and verse 19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about this for a minute. God's able to meet our personal requirements. So let me ask you two or three things. Do you have a budget? If you don't have a budget, you need to get a budget. And December is a good time to think about it, and January is a great time to start it. You need a personal budget. Do you have a personal budget? So, Pastor, I don't. I'm already spending 120% of what I make. Then you have a budget, and it's in the red, and that ain't good. You need to back up. Now, God's put certain amount in your hand. You need a budget. You ought to come get enrolled in our Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey and make a budget. There's some college kids home for Thanksgiving. I've met three or four of them. I saw two or three. I said, you come home, you run out of money. And they said, yes, sir, that's why I'm home. I said, well, amen. Now we laugh about that, but thank God for college kids. Love them. They're off in school. Well, let me tell you, all you college kids, make a budget. Make a budget now. You have your income. You have your outgo. That's a budget. And if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. So you got an amount. That's how much you can spend. That works everywhere except Washington. If I did my budget personally, like they do their budget, I couldn't make it long. If we did our budget here at this church, we have a budget. We have to go by that budget. There are times we make it, times we don't. That's why we've got some money set aside for when water runs in this place. It costs $350,000 to fix this place when it flooded. Thank God for Dan Beard, who 10 years ago, after the last hurricane, we talked about it and said, well, let's just start putting a little money aside. And one day when we have a roof or something goes on, we didn't know it was going to be a flood. You don't have a flood in Florida. You have a hurricane. Well, we had a flood, and water ran up on this bottom step. As I jokingly said, every Baptist ought to be like a flood. Run to the altar. Amen. Because when it breached those doors, it ran to the altar. How do we get by with that? We had a budget. We had a plan. We had a rainy day fund. And I mean, it was a rainy day fun. You ought to have one. So, preacher, I'm just starting. That's a great time to start. You ought to have a budget. Number two, live within your means. You got that much, that's how much you can spend. That's how God meets your personal requirements. Live within your means. Make $40,000 a year, then that's your budget. Make $1.2 million, that's your budget. Get a budget. If you know how to make one, come to that Ramsey course. They'll help you know how. You can go online. You can do that. Thirdly, I want to encourage you that as you grow a little older, and you find some people, if you're young, they'd do this for free for you. I do it for every couple that I do their wedding. We plan a budget. It's the first thing I do because the budget kills more marriages than anything in America. The last thing I do, after we have the sex talk in session two, we have the money talk in session three. And the money talk's a lot easier than the sex talk. All right, I'm not a counselor nor the son of one, okay? I've never claimed to be a counselor. All I know is that's a sin, stop it. I'm not a counselor, okay? But I'm a planner, and I know what I've messed up on, and so we do a budget. And I have couples that come in doing very well, others not doing so hot, but we gotta do a budget. And they got to either get in the black or lie to me, one of the two. They gotta do that. Put that all together. But I would do it, but some of you ought to hire a financial fiduciary, a financial planner. You ought to talk to somebody. So I can do it myself. That's good. I'm just telling you, mentors are important in every area of life. You do your own dental work? I don't do mine. You take care of your own body physically? I mean, you need a shot, do you give your own? Some of you do. I'm just telling you, your finances are worth investing a little bit in. You gotta be very careful, because just like dentists and doctors and preachers, there's crooks in the financial area. You gotta find the right person, good relationship. I'm just telling you, a good planner will help you. You do your own taxes? You find somebody, a CPA sometimes helps you do that. See, what I'm telling you is that God will meet your personal requirements, but he gave you a brain for a reason. Two cells at least are rubbed together, and when you do, it'll spark. Now here's the plan I give every young couple, I give my own kids, I give it to everybody. 80, 10, 10. I've been living my life off this plan since before Liz and I got married. Living on 80% of what I make. Giving myself 10% and giving the Lord 10%. 80, 10, 10. Now, I always spiritualize that for some of you that are legalistic, and I'm on the 10, 10, 80 plan. I give the Lord a tithe, I give myself a tenth, and then there's 80% to live on. Just encourage it. It's a great way to live. And as God grows and blesses and you get older and you get shed of kids, hallelujah, you can move to 75, split that other 25. You'll have money to give. You can give it to a relaunch program. You can give it to your grandchildren. You have more to put in your retirement account. God is able. Say, preacher, if you get disciplined enough, I'm telling you, you can live on this plan. And you ought to do it. God is able to meet our personal requirements. But now, number two, very quickly and lastly, God is able to multiply our personal resources. Yes, he is. Look in verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. He'll do what? He will multiply your seed for sowing and he will increase the harvest of your... This is about money, dear friend. Don't spiritualize this text. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality. You'll have money to give to things you didn't know, and it will produce a thanksgiving unto God for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, that's finances, you're meeting the needs of the saints, but it's overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. It meets the practical need, and it causes a spiritual revival within your soul when you get your money where it ought to be. Money's important. We don't talk near enough about it from this pulpit. We need to see that God multiplies seed, he increases the harvest, he enriches for liberality. And how does he do that? He does it, as verse 8 says, through all grace. God is able to make all grace. It flows, it covers, it forgives. Just like grace comes into your life, that you don't deserve, and it flows, and it enriches, and it covers your sin, and it forgives your sin, the same way God multiplies in your life. Now, there's a whole bunch of baby boomers sitting in here, born between 1946 and 1964. Throw your right hand up if you're a boomer. 46 to 64, that's us, all right? We used to run the world, that day's over. There's a larger generation than us now has come behind us. You moved into an era of your life. If you've been faithful, you've got more to do with than you've ever had. Many of you do. Not everybody, but I'm telling you, it's there. Because some of you have sown correctly. And God is now blessing in your life. And you are able to be a blessing unto others. Yesterday, I was with the National FCA president, Coach Shekel. Used to coach with the Buffalo Bills and now runs the National FCA organization. And we were talking about our FCA organizations. I serve on the board of one of those. How all of those FCA group leaders have to raise their own money. For the first time in my life, I'm able to sow into the life outside of my church after getting the tithe and above, that God brings some things into my life. I speak hither and yon, do that, and I'm able to sow into that FCA play. It's more seed for the sower. You're able to give away. I got a little fund set up for my granddaughter, try to help her go to college. One of those, is it 529, whatever that is, that the right number? And I put that in there, and that's supposed to grow and do, and I don't know if it'll work or not. God told me it would, and he's supposed to know. So I've been sowing a little money in there. Are you sowing? I'm telling you, sowing is a cool deal. Because it's more blessed to... It's pretty cool to get. That's okay, you can say amen there. It is good, it's good to give. Amen. I love it when people walk up to me and palm me $100. Now, preacher, this won't bless you today. I remember the day I wouldn't take that money. And God got me over that when he said, you know, you've got to learn to receive before you'll ever know how to give. He said, I'm running that not to you, I'm running that through you. Amen. You're a sower. You're a sower. And what God does is he multiplies your personal resources. And now when you go to Israel, so you've been there, there's two bodies of water in Israel. When you go way up to the north, there's a mountain, Mount Hermon. Snow stays on that mountain all the time. And there's springs up there. And that snow melts. And that snow runs down in the Jordan River. And the Jordan River empties into the Sea of Galilee. And then it runs through the Sea of Galilee on the southern end, and it runs out, and it goes all the way down to the Dead Sea. There's two bodies of water on the Jordan. There's the Sea of Galilee, and it's teeming with life. There's the Dead Sea, and nothing lives in there. Why? Because it doesn't give anything. It only takes, and everything dies. But in the Galilee, it both receives. You got to learn to receive. And when you receive, you have it, and it multiplies, and it's alive, and there's fish, and there's life-giving, and then it flows out the other end. You see, friend, you must learn to receive and give. If all you do is get, you'll be dead. You must not only receive, you got to give. And when you give, it flows to other people. My wife and I learned this for the first time, and I got to quit here. We were seminary students. I'm talking about poor as a church mouse. We have nothing. My wife had a part-time job. I'd quit my job and go to school full-time. I was drawing a little dividend out of my daddy's grocery store. Now, I got that because he put me on the corporation, and by my being on the corporation, he could pay me a little something. And there was one company called Colonial Bread, and they gave a dividend off the bread truck once a quarter. And he sent me, my mama did, sent me the dividend check off the Colonial Bread because I was on the corporation. The day I graduated, from seminary, Colonial Bread stopped paying the dividend on the bread route. It's miraculous. We lived off of Colonial Bread dividends and what my wife made working for two professors. And I'm sitting in a church service like you're sitting in. Brother Gerald, our pastor, preached. We as seminary kids and talked about giving. And God spoke to Liz's heart and my heart and told us to write a $500 check and give it to one of our classmates that was deep in debt and had a hard time. We wrote that check. Man, we swallowed hard, because this is about all the money we had. We gave Nan that check. She wept. If she walked in here today, she'd tell me about it. It wasn't about Nan, it's about my learning obedience and giving. We went home for Christmas. They gave out all the stuff. You know, socks and shirts. We had dinner and we got done, and so we started back to the table, and Mother said, "Oh yeah, yeah, one more thing." And she reached up in the tree. There was an envelope stuck up in the tree. Wasn't even under. She said, "This has y'all's name on it." And in that envelope was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. $100 bill. As I used to tell my mother-in-law, I love Benjamin Franklin. Now listen to this whole deal. I said to her when she'd give me $100, I said, "He's my favorite president." To which she reminded me, he was never president of the United States. Well, he's my favorite philosopher. But what God taught me, you know, people say you can't outgive God. Well, I mean, what can you outdo that God can do? Why, nothing. You just be obedient to what God says, and He'll multiply your seed. He's looking for an obedient person. Now, I got to get to this last part, and I'm done. Just one other thing. Look right here. In verse 9, it says, as it is written, it's written in Psalm 112 in verse 9, "He who scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever." Now take your Bible and go to Psalm 112, okay? Everybody turn to Psalm 112 and we're done. Psalm 112. Then we're going to give an invitation. John's coming right now. We're going to be ready. In Psalm 112, look at this. When you get down to verse 9, that's that verse over in 2 Corinthians 9:9. He's given freely to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn will be exalted in honor. Who is he? It's not God. Look in verse number 1 of Psalm 112. "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandment." The man who fears God and delights in his commandments. Verse 2 says, "His descendants will be mighty." Verse 3, "His wealth and riches in his house." Verse 4, "Light arises in darkness." Verse 5, "It's well with that man." In verse 6, "He'll never be shaken." Verse 7, "He'll fear no evil." In verse 8, "His heart is upheld." In verse 9, "That man who fears the Lord and greatly delights in his commandment, that man has given freely to the poor and his righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor, and the wicked is going to see this man and they'll be vexed and will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked is going to perish." What God's looking for at Olive Baptist Church today, He's looking for a man or a woman who will fear God above all others and who will greatly delight in what God tells him to do. And if you'll do what God tells you to do, this church will do everything God wants it to do. Amen. If you'll do what God tells you to do, your family will do everything God wants you to do. If you'll do what God tells you to do, you will do everything God wants you to do. But when you walk in disobedience, you're sowing to the flesh, and you will then reap corruption. Well, this has been an odd message, but it's what Paul's telling us. It's about our giving, and we need to talk more about that, because we're in a crunch. We're in a debt crisis in our nation. We're in a debt crisis with our college kids getting out with these thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt. Well, we got families that are just crushed. My mother taught me about finance. There was a couple down the road that built a big house. We'd drive by it every time we'd go out of town. And when they built that big house, out by the driveway, they put a big lion on two big pillars as you drove up to their big house. I'll never forget the day my mother, she said, you know, that's a nice looking place, but she said, you know, I believe they could have done without those lions. That's a country gal, came up hard. She said, I believe they could have done without those lions. She said, they either have all kind of money or they are really deep in debt. Today, when you drive by there, those lions are still there, but that house is gone and there's a trailer that sits out there. That house been torn down. They went bankrupt. Why? I'm telling you, here's what I believe happened. I believe they were more interested in people seeing their perceived wealth with the lions out by the road than they were taking care of their own self inside their house. They lost everything they had. Dear friend, you need to get your heart right with God, then you need to get your budget right with God. And He has a way of multiplying your seed. Now we're going to go out of here in just a minute after we give this invitation. You're going to have some choices to make. Deep choices about your future, about our future, about what God would have us do in days to come. Simply be obedient unto God. Fear Him and obey His command. For some of you, the command is to come today and say yes to the indescribable gift of the gospel in Christ. He died for you. We've all sinned, and yet He died for us. And if you'd trust Him, He'd save you. Some of you, it's to come and join this church. For some of you, it's to be baptized like this sweet lady we saw early in the service. The call of God is in this room for obedience. And as God calls, we stand to sing. I'm going to invite you to come. Take my hand right here. Say, Pastor, I'm coming in obedience this good day. On our feet, we are all over this room. We're standing. We're singing. God's calling. And you come just now.